Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
Different personalities, different backgrounds, that is true, but each one of us is entrusted, to use the word Jesus uses in the parable, is entrusted by the Holy Spirit with a gift. Use your gift for the glory of God as we await the return of our Lord from heaven. None of us want to be ashamed when He returns.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. Each of us has been given unique gifts and talents to be used for the glory of God. But if we're not careful, these gifts can be wasted or abused. So today on The Verdict, we're discovering the importance of being good stewards of the gifts God has given us. Now, continuing our study in Matthew, here's Pastor John Monroe with a message titled, Using Your Talents.
Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back? The Apostle Peter wrote, "Scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, 'Where is the promise of His coming?' For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." There are always those who mock the idea of the return of Jesus Christ, but Christ's return is clearly predicted in the Old and New Testaments of Holy Scripture. And in particular, it is taught by our Lord. In this next parable told by Jesus in Matthew 25, we will be instructed how we are to conduct ourselves as we await His return, and in particular, how to use the talents which the Lord has given us.
Our task is fairly simple. We're going to read the verses, we're going to reflect on them, and then we're going to think of some important principles which are applicable to all of us. First of all, the most important thing, obviously, is to read the Word of God. Matthew 25, and Jesus is again telling a story to help us understand the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 25, verse 14, "For it," meaning the kingdom of heaven, "for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I've scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A story told by the master storyteller. Now, first of all, there is a parable to be understood. A man gives various talents to his servants. Jesus says, verse 1, the kingdom of God is like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusted to them his property. Now, there's no mention when this wealthy man will return. He doesn't tell them exactly when he will return, but they know he's going to return. And in his absence, he's entrusting his property to these servants. To one of his servants, he gives 5 talents, to another 2, and to the other 1. Now, a talent was not a specific unit of currency, but an expensive unit of exchange. It may have been gold, it may have been silver, it may have been copper. And it's very difficult to quantify in today's currency how much a talent would be worth today, but I read that it represented about 20 years of earnings for the average worker. That's a lot of money, isn't it? So, for example, if we took $50,000 a year as an average worker, you say, I don't make $50,000. Some of you make much more, some of you make much less, but let's take $50,000 a year. In today's currency, then, 1 talent would be $1 million. So think of it this way. Here is a very wealthy man. He's going on a journey, and he wants his money, his property, invested in his absence. So he entrusts it to these 3 servants. To one, he gives $5 million. To another, he gives $2 million. And to one, he gives $1 million. Notice Jesus says, verse 15, to each according to his ability. This master knew his servants. So he didn't give the same amount of talents to every servant, no. And he wanted them to use their initiative in investing his wealth. So the man gets his 5 talents, immediately goes to work. We don't know how he did it, that doesn't matter. But he invests it and he makes 5 talents more. The man who has 2 talents, he does the same. He goes to work, invests them. We're not told how he does it, but he makes another 2 talents. They double their investment. That's pretty good, isn't it? Anyone here can do that? I don't think so, right? That's a good investment to double it. Now, the man who had received the 1 talent did something very different. Not only did he not trade with his talent, not only did he not even invest it in the bank, he dug it, verse 18, he dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. That's a strange thing to do, isn't it? In that culture then, and even today, it's not uncommon to hide something of value in the ground, particularly if you come from the criminal classes, right? You're trying to hide some money. I wondered, was that servant who got the 1 talent, was he resentful of the others who had received 5 and 2 talents? What we do know is he was a lazy servant. The master calls him slothful, lazy. And he did not go to work. He did not use the talent that he had got. I tend to think that he may have thought that the master would never come back. Then he'd be able to keep the talent, $1 million, all to himself. If he put it into a bank, there would be a receipt, it could be found out, there'd be a record of the deposit. And so perhaps he thought, you know, this guy's gone away, he may never come back. I'm not gonna tell anyone where it is, I'm gonna hide it. And I may be able to use it for myself in the future. And we really don't know. What is clear is this. He does not invest the talent. He hides it in the ground, and it seemed to me he didn't really believe that the master would return one day. It's a very foolish thing and a very lazy thing that he did. The master returns. He was away, Jesus says, for a long time. Verse 19. Now after a long time, the master of these servants came and settled accounts with them. Oh, the time of accountability has now come. The man who'd received the 5 talents goes to the master and says, listen, here's your original 5 talents that you trusted to me, and here is an extra 5 talents. So he presents to the master $10 million. The servant is told, verse 21, you've done well. You're a good and you're a faithful servant. And surprisingly, verse 21, he says, you've been faithful over a little. You know, don't know about you, but $5 million isn't little to me. Unless you're a multi-billionaire. If your name is Musk, you may think so. But for the rest of us, that's not a little. I'll come back to that. And his reward is twofold. First, I will set you over much. That's left there, we're not sure the details. I will set you over much. Secondly, verse 21, enter into the joy of your master. A continuing relationship with a master. So this man, this master is very rich as he regards $5 million, $10 million as very little. So think of the reward which is promised to the faithful and to the good servant. Now the man who'd received the 2 talents come and presents not only the 2 talents which were initially entrusted to him, but the 2 which he'd made. That's pretty good. He presents then totally to the master $4 million. And did you notice this? He receives exactly the same reward as the man who had received the 1 talents. Now the man who had received the 1 talent comes forward. Did you notice? Now Jesus is the master storyteller, and he knows the heart of men. Notice what this character does. He begins immediately by attacking the master's integrity and character. He describes him, verse 24, he describes him as a hard man. Whoa, you got some nerve. If he's a hard man, you better not tell him. And if he's not a hard man, why are you saying he's a hard man? You were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. You're the kind of individual who can make a profit even though you do nothing. You allow others to scatter the seed and you just get the harvest. And, you know, I was afraid of you. Notice his manipulation. I was afraid of you. And so because of that, I hid your talent in the ground. No wonder the master describes him as worthless. What the man was saying didn't make sense. I mean, the master could have buried the talent himself in the ground if he'd wanted. The master, before he had left, could have gone to his bankers and given them the 1 talent to invest and get at least a little interest. No, I'm giving you the talent so that you can go to work, so that you can invest it, not to bury it. Have you noticed in life? I have. In the workplace, hopefully this doesn't apply to anyone here. In the workplace, who is the biggest complainer? Who is the one who is most critical of the boss, most critical of the employer? The man, the woman who does the least. Have you noticed that? It's not the high achiever, it's the lazy person who is the most critical. You see, this man who received the 1 talent did not know the heart of the master. And the master describes him as wicked and slothful, verse 26. Why didn't you invest the money with the bank? At least you'd got some interest. And now, the talent that you have is going to be taken from you and given to the man who made the $5 million. A man who now has the 10 talents. Therefore, verses 28 and 29, he will have an abundance. Take the talent from him, the worthless man, give it to him who has the 10 talents. Notice the principle, verse 29, everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even when he has, will be taken away. Are you going to give more money to a man who does absolutely nothing? He's lazy, he's worthless. He attacks the character and the integrity of the master? Absolutely not. That would be foolish. You had your opportunity and you made a mess of it. And I'm going to take what you have and give it to the one who is a good and faithful servant, and he will have an abundance. Furthermore, you notice how the story twists, as often it does, and in a sense surprises us. Verse 30, cast the worthless servant, now this is a parable, but it's teaching truth, as we'll see, into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is very, very wrong. This is a serious matter, and if you do that, you'll experience severe punishment. That's the parable. Now, think of the principles to be applied. I have six of them. You say, oh, six? Ooh, this is going to be a long message. Others of you say, oh, I'm disappointed. I would love 10. But seriously, these are very, very important principles. The first is this. Differing gifts are sovereignly given by God to every authentic follower of Jesus Christ. Do you get that? Differing gifts are sovereignly given by God to every true believer in Jesus Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are saved by the grace of God, you have received a gift. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, Peter writes, As each has received a gift, Greek word is charisma, from which we get charismatic. The Greek word for grace is charis. You have received a charisma. You have received a grace gift as an evidence of the grace of God. He's given you a gift. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. What a gracious God we have. And God is so gracious that he gives to every single one of us a grace gift. You don't deserve it, it's sovereignly given. You don't buy it, you don't choose it, it's sovereignly given to you. And these gifts are different, but they are apportioned, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12:11, to each one individually as he, the Holy Spirit, wills. The man didn't come to the master and say, I want five, or the one say, I only want one. No, it is sovereignly given to you by God. Different personalities, different backgrounds, that is true, but to each one of us is entrusted, to use the word Jesus uses in the parable, is entrusted by the Holy Spirit with a gift. And he gives it to us, did you notice, and I drew attention to it at the end of verse 15, to each according to his ability. God knows you, and God has given you a gift specially suitable for you. So you, my brother, my sister, have been entrusted with a gift, a talent. As I say, these are grace gifts. Please remember that. Don't boast in your gift. Don't boast in your ability. Don't use your gift to draw attention to yourself. Remember, it's sovereignly given to you by God. Second principle, obviously, gifts are to be used, not buried. They are to be used to serve God. They're to be used to serve others. The master entrusted the talents to the servants. Notice the word. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, as I read, to each has received a gift, a charisma, and we are what? To use it to serve one another. You have a gift, not to be buried. You are to use it, how? To serve others. Paul says in the great chapter on gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, you're to use it for the common good. In a similar parable, Jesus tells in Luke 19, he says that the servants, in the absence of the master, were to engage in business until he comes. That's the point. Bearing your gift, not using your gift, is a very serious matter. Now, don't forget the overall context of Matthew 24 and 25. Remember, the Bible is not written in just little bits and pieces, as some of us read our Bible by just reading a little section here and there. Don't do that. Understand the context. What's the context of this parable? Context of the parable is that the Son of Man has gone, but he's coming back. And in his absence, you and I have gifts to be used. Gifts are to be used, not buried. Here's the third principle. The time of accountability is coming. You say, when is that? I don't know, but it's coming. After being away, Jesus says, for a long time, the master of these servants came and settled accounts with them. Remember, these are grace gifts. Peter reminds us that we are stewards, managers, trustees of God's manifold grace. That God's grace is multifaceted. And God, knowing who we are, knowing everything about us, everything that we will be, sovereignly chooses the gift. And I am to use it for myself? No. You have to invest that in the interests of God, in the interests of others. So Peter says, we are to be good stewards, good trustees.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the start of a message titled, Using Your Talents. John will be back in just a moment. But first, I'd like to tell you about a free resource available exclusively from The Verdict. It's a booklet called Life in the Kingdom, written by John and specially designed to help you understand the teaching of Jesus on what it means to follow him. Through this encouraging guide, you'll gain an eternal perspective for day-to-day living as you go deeper into the practical teaching of Jesus. And right now, we're offering this booklet to our listeners absolutely free. So request your copy of Life in the Kingdom by mail or download when you go to our website at theverdict.org. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for John's monthly email newsletter. And if you're looking for ways to expand your influence for the gospel, would you consider playing a part in this radio ministry by making a one-time donation? With your financial gift of any amount, you'll be joining our efforts to bring the truth of God's word into new communities across the globe. We've made it quick and easy to give through our website. Simply go to theverdict.org. On our website, you can also learn how to join our Sunday morning worship here at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We'd love to see you this Sunday. Again, just go to theverdict.org. And before we close, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts from. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks.
Well, what's your verdict? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been given a talent to be used in the interests of the Lord Jesus. It's true that different people have different talents and different amounts of talents. But every follower of Christ is held responsible by the Lord to use what he has given them for his glory and for the furtherance of his kingdom. Are you doing that? Make sure you tune in next time. There are five principles which we will learn regarding using our talents.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.